This week, Taoiseach Micheál Martin travels to the United States for the traditional St. Patrick's Day visit. The highlight will be a meeting in the White House with the US President. But the sometimes unpredictable approach of the new incumbent in the Oval Office make this an unusually delicate balancing act, as our reporter Jackie Fox has been finding out.
God bless.
You don't know that.
God bless.
You
God
don't
bless.
That.
You
don't,
will not have a war.
Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
Bus stops.
You're not in a good position.
I was
the cards right now.
And diplomatic
Europe
bromance.
Is loaning the money to Ukraine. They get their money back.
No, in fact, to be frank, we paid.
The Oval Office has already seen its fair share of drama. This week, it's Micheál Martin's turn.
I would always sit and think, number one, elegant, slightly cynical, assertive. Do not join in with the argument.
Judy James is a body language expert, and here's her advice for the Taoiseach as he prepares to head to the White House.
Number one, don't try and take him on in what I call an alpha body language competition, which is the kind of thing that Macron does, where they're trying to out-power pat each other and see who can do the toughest handshake and who can sit the most splayed in their seats. That's an inelegant way to go about it, and Donald Trump will always win anyway. So obviously wear a suit. I can't emphasise that enough. Wear a nice suit with a nice tie. When he greets Donald Trump, the big thing there will be when he'll be waiting outside the White House entrance. He'll get out of the car, he'll get a greeting, and then it gets pointed towards the press. Now, Donald Trump is very good at trying to do strategic power greetings. And by that, I mean, the worst one that he does is called the shake and yank, which is where he holds your hand and then pulls the hand. And you see world leaders getting off balance, disorientated. So to try and fight that, I would suggest that he stands with his feet in a slight splay so that he can't lose his balance. That will give him a better centre of gravity. So if he gets on the end of a shake and yank, he's less likely to tumble. Meaningful eye contact is very important to Donald Trump. It shouldn't be a glare, but as you shake hands, you should actually look him in the eye and lower the head slightly. Putin does that, and he seems to find that a really good way to shake hands.
Some people on the streets of Dublin also want to give Micheál Martin their tuppence worth.
Just basically not to be bullied like the Ukrainian president was bullied. You know, I thought it was disgraceful. Another world leader speaking to him like that. Hopefully Micheál Martin will speak up.
Don't go.
Why?
Just don't even interact with that at all, no.
Be diplomatic, I suppose, yeah. I think you need to say what we feel morally, I think, but at the same time, we need to keep business going too, don't we? I think he's a good diplomat, yeah. He's a lot of experience. I think he'll be well able for it.
Oh, avoid it. Throw a sickie. Pretend you're not well.
Throwing a sickie is probably off the cards. The key to British Prime Minister Keir Starmer's charm offensive, an invitation from King Charles.
So this is a letter from His Majesty the King. It's an invitation for a second state visit. This is really special. This has never happened before. This is unprecedented.
While Micheál Martin won't have a royal invitation in his inner jacket pocket, he could have something in his back pocket.
All right, fellas, here we go.
To appeal to the golf lover.
And a Ryder Cup invitation is a costless thing for us to offer. None of our European allies would find that in any way damaging to their interests.
Dan O'Brien is an economist with the Institute of International and European Affairs.
Well, the first thing I'd really like to see is him going with an offer, a deal that's both good for Ireland and good for the US. Most obvious in my mind is liquefied natural gas. We are extremely precarious in terms of our imports of gas. One pipeline from Scotland, if that goes down, we're in a really difficult situation. Now, if the teacher goes to the White House and says, or puts an offer on the table of buying American liquefied natural gas, I think that would be the kind of transaction, that deal, that would help the mood music and also allow the Taoiseach to say that Ireland's trade surplus, very big surplus in goods trade, would be reduced by this. So he could kill a number of birds with a single stone.
At the end of the day, a bit of Irish charm will go a long way, according to Judy James.
the absolute best defence. If you watch the other leaders, they've set themselves up as sort of rival alphas. So when they start getting attacked, they feel that they've either got to fight back or all the wrong impressions. But no, I would definitely have on a little bracelet somewhere the word charm written to remind him that just stay charming.
Judy James ending that report by Jackie Fox. Well, we're now joined in studio by Brian Murphy, former chief of staff for then Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. Brian, you've prepared a Taoiseach for four White House visits, three of those with President Trump. Can I just start by asking you, what went through your mind when you watched those scenes between Presidents Trump and Zelensky in the Oval Office 10 days ago?
I think, like a lot of other people, frightened by them, appalled by them. Obviously have been in Ukraine, have seen what damage has been done by the Russians there, and President Zelensky, you know, travels through the night by train, by plane, to get to Washington, and then this is how it ends up. You know, and worried because obviously it has been followed then by the Americans pulling cooperation. So, hopefully we can get out of that situation, but it won't be easy.
Does it also suggest that a trip to the Oval Office now or to the White House is a very different thing? I mean, how much preparation goes into a meeting with the US president?
Oh, a lot of preparation goes in. Like, I suppose one thing to say is that there's a whole series of meetings over the course of a day. And I think that's sort of important to note. You've got the breakfast with the vice president, which, given the assertiveness of this vice president, will be important. That is then followed by, in the White House, a tete-a-tete between the president and the Taoiseach. And that is the best opportunity to raise some issues because that's in private. The media aren't there. That is then followed by a session with the media, which is potentially the point at which, you know, you don't have control over what's going to happen. And then that is followed by a meeting between the Irish delegation and the American delegation in the White House. And then later you have the Speaker's lunch and you have the Shamrock ceremony that night. The Shamrock ceremony obviously has been a point in the past where some important messages have been given. You think of Enda Kenny's speech on migration. You think of some of the comments that Leo Varadkar made in relation to Palestine. But again, that is a more controlled situation because the speech, the one that probably is the one you have to prepare most for is this period with the media. And also now you look at who the media that the White House are bringing in. They're bringing in, let me term it, non-conventional media to these meetings. So, you know, questions can be asked that would not have been asked in the past.
So is preparing for a meeting with Donald Trump very different to preparing for a meeting with somebody like Joe Biden? Do you have to perhaps war game some confrontation that might take place?
I think every president is a bit different. But like, I think you prepare basically by thinking, what are the issues you would like to raise? And what are the issues they are likely to raise? You also have to be conscious it's a limited amount of time. You're not going to be there for an hour. And also, the nature of the meeting is always going to be that the president is going to actually lead a lot of the conversation. So I think if the Taoiseach wants to raise certain issues, really there's probably about two issues you can comfortably think you can get into that discussion. But the thing can go, you know, the thing can go in a strange direction. Like, I'll give you an example, and like, I'm not breaking secrets because, although people probably don't remember it, when we met in Shannon with the president, he was in the middle of a huge spat with Bette Midler. And Bette Midler became 5 minutes of the discussion. Now, you know, you can't really prepare for that, and you know there is no good response to those comments. You just listen. Like, I think in terms of the topics, the ones that we would have prepared for, particularly, would have been the whole issue of peace on the island, relating that to Brexit, and the position of the undocumented, because we came very close one senator came close to a deal on the Irish undocumented. And then the issue that the Americans were going to raise was undoubtedly the issue of the trade balances. And we had to prepare for that. And the big thing there, and look, I think you see it in the preparation that Micheál Martin and the Irish government have been making, is to, again, make the point about the two-way relationship. That there is a, you know, there's a huge amount of Irish investment in America. And, you know, whether it's companies like Ryanair or CRH or Kerrygold, like CRH, if you asked an American, they view CRH now as an American company. But, it, you know, it started as an Irish company, is still headquartered here. So there, you know, the president is going to remain, because I saw it, he remains very much of the view that there's a big trade imbalance. And you won't convince him otherwise, but what you seek to do is open doors for maybe later conversations. Because I think, you know, it's correct. There's absolutely no benefit in having a big row. What you really want to do is say, well, look, we're very open to discussing this further. And but you do want to, you know, and the Irish people will expect that. You will want to make the points about Ukraine and about Gaza. And it's a question of finding the way to do it. But I think the private meeting is probably the best way to do it.
We hear a lot about Donald Trump being quite a transactional president. Is there anything that the Taoiseach can offer the president that would perhaps enhance the visit?
I think there are probably two or three things. One, like, I wouldn't underestimate the notion of an invitation to the Gulf. Like, one of the things that the Trump family, not just Donald Trump himself, they have a very positive view of their Doombeg investment. They visited Doombeg, they like Doombeg. So that gives you an in there, and it's worth utilising. In terms of trade, I think, you know, there are big trade deals in the offing by big Irish companies, worth mentioning them. And I think certainly LNG is worth mentioning, the liquefied natural gas, because the government has now changed its position on that. So we are going to be looking at doing a deal to bring LNG into the country. And, you know, that would be from North America. So there are, and we've seen it in terms of Trump's transactions, if you like, with Canada and Mexico. If he feels he can get a win, and a win that his predecessor didn't get, you know, he'll be very positive about that. But there are issues that are going to be not just issues for next week. They're going to be issues over the next year, 2 years. Specifically for us, I think it's the trade issue. But for Europe as a whole, it's the, I think, the defence issue.
Separately, Brian, it's 5 years this week since you were in Washington with Leo Varadkar when he announced the first government COVID lockdown. What are your reflections looking back on that time?
I have been thinking about this in the last few days because obviously it's the fifth anniversary. Like, it was a very dark moment for our country. Like, I can remember, you know, we were taken out, myself and the Taoiseach and the Secretary General of the Government were taken out of an Ireland Funds dinner to have a phone call with Dublin, with Simon Coveney, Simon Harris, Chief Medical Officer, to say that, look, the situation had got much worse and that we were going to have to impose restrictions, very severe restrictions. And, you know, part of it is, I think back, like, there was all the sort of thing that went through your mind was you want to tell people what the situation is, but you don't want to scare people. And part of that, and this might sound very trivial, but it was part of it was, you know, we were obviously on a big time difference. So when could we do a broadcast so that we'd be doing it in light? You know, we didn't want to be doing it in darkness under. So, you know, we figured, talk to the Met Service in the States and could work out, you know, 7 a.m. there'd be enough light to do it naturally at Blair House. So we did that. When I think back on the whole thing, I think, you know, it was very dark and an awful lot of people suffered. Some died. An awful lot of people saw family members die in terrible circumstances. They weren't able to say goodbye. It was difficult for business. On the other hand, I think, you know, the country came together very strongly and very well. I think there is a danger that some people reflect now and say, oh, it was a total overreaction. I would very strongly say it was not an overreaction. What we had was a virus that we knew was killing people. We saw the scenes from Italy, the trucks, and there was no treatment, there was no cure, there was no vaccine, and there mightn't have been a vaccine for a couple of years. So it, you know, and the fact that we actually managed to come through it in a relatively short time and were able to put in place the economic measures, such as the PUP and the rest, that, you know, people were able to survive. You know, I think I reflect on it with a sense of, on one level, a sense of pride, but another sense, look, I think it was terrible for people, terribly difficult. And I think there isn't a person in the country who wasn't touched in some way.
Brian Murphy, former Chief of Staff for then Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, many thanks for joining us. Still to come, Ukraine's peace talks to get underway tomorrow. What are the chances of success? And GAA youth membership in Britain surges. We'll hear more.